Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I got to tell you some fun news today. Some more of the Capitol rioters arrested. Evidently, one guy brought a sawed-off shotgun to the Capitol on January 6th. And then he was plotting to blow up an Amazon data center. Yeah, got a hold of him. And then three more. Evidently, three alleged supporters of the 3% group. They are charged in new charges in the conspiracy there. Because, look, you know, they came all the way from California to overthrow our government. They should get a going-away prize of a nice trial and hopefully a nice cot, a toilet right next to them and some gray bars and some, three hots and a cot. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, our newest potential felons and all of the top stories of the day. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. Sarah is a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, their website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm getting better. The more of these stories I see of these criminals who invaded our Capitol and have been causing chaos, the more of them being arrested I see, the better I think it's going to be.
I know. It's nice to see justice is actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, all of these groups, the 3%ers, the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, all of, our hat trick of white supremacy.
Yeah, and one of the interesting thing about the six guys that were indicted, that were named today in the indictment, two of them were with Roger Stone the day before the insurrection. So I find that just fascinating. They were doing security for him.
And again, this is why I think we do need to have an investigation. And I think we need to find out who funded all of this stuff and drill down into the funding of all these organizations.
Yeah, this is, we've talked before about one of the guys who was doing caravans. I think too, obviously the thing with the Republican report that was released this week is it just really focused on, what happened in the few hours that the insurrection was actually going on. And it didn't really address any of the main issues with what caused it, any plans that were going on before then. And so it really neglected all of this information about, intelligence that was already gathered. It didn't deal with planning that was in place. It didn't deal with, all the Republican parties that paid for people to come to the event. It really left out a lot, which I think, Democrats have said over and over again, this is one of the main reasons we need an actual investigation to this thing. So,
yep. And I say the investigation shouldn't stop there. I mean, we should be going after all these characters who were involved in this whole thing. And I look at, the Trump's lawyer, that Lynn Wood, I love the fact that they've been unable to stop the psychiatric exam of this guy because, I've seen him speak a couple of times, not in person, but over the YouTubes. This guy's out there.
He's a little special.
He's a little special.
He blessed his heart. this guy is several flies over the cuckoo nest. That's really what happened there. The Georgia Republican Party, somebody filed a complaint against him saying that that they questioned his mental health after obviously a plethora of crazy lawsuits all across the country. Michigan is actually also trying to disbar him. But the main part is the complaint in Georgia where he has fought, I guess this idea of taking a competency exam or like a mental health exam. And the Georgia Bar Association has actually said, it's not actually necessary if you don't want to do it. We're just saying that that's going to be part of the investigation that we do because the investigation actually looks at all of it, everything that has happened leading up to it. So it's kind of like, this is one opportunity where he could actually sit in front of a psychologist and be like, yeah, no, this is all for show. This is just complete nonsense, or, you know, tell the truth about it being completely nuts. Or they can look at several months of his work and his specialness and ultimately find that he's maybe not mentally fit to practice law in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, no. Or, you know, the other side of this, you go, you know what? I had a little break. I had a little breakdown. I'm getting treatment now. I'm better. I'm on the meds. I'm better. Use it as an excuse. Blame all of the things, like he believes that Trump's coming back. I guess he thought Trump was coming back in you know, March, April, May, somewhere around there. I know it's been pushed off to August. I guess he wasn't involved in that conversation. I guess that was the MyPillow guy. But, you know, I guess you go and say, hey, I was a little crazy. I was off my meds at the time.
I mean, and one of the things that a lot of the insurrectionists have been saying is that they have foxitis or demophobia. I made up a whole bunch of different possible diseases.
Demophobia.
And so, I, you know, it's entirely possible that he could claim that. I don't know if that's actually going to work. It seems like once the Q shaman started, I think he was among the first to use the foxitis idea. He didn't call it that. And then it seems like all of them are now starting to try and use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
So Linwood, why not?
Yeah, yeah. No, you need something. The only card they've got is the pity card. Feel sorry for me. Because they play the victim so well.
They do. And now it's interesting. Sorry, my allergies are just killing me today. The interesting thing about what they're trying to do in these excuses is, you know, for somebody who purports to be so powerful and so, you know, they're the savior of the American democracy. The president called on them, right? And yet you are now a victim. Like, just it makes them seem really, really weak and sad and. And that's the thing that really surprises me about the Republican Party in general is they're really good at playing the victim. And for somebody that is supposed to be, you know, Trump always talks about, you know, manliness and this masculinity crap and all of that. And yet as a victim, they just look so weak and sad.
Yeah. No, but here's the thing, you know, they're and the excuse that I do give is, look, they've been subjected to, you know, decades of you know, brainwashing and groupthink and, you know, all of that stuff, you know, where they've been told repeatedly that they're the victim, that they're powerless, that only in the group and only together with and only with the Republican Party leading this that they can find themselves and return America to what it once was, that they don't even know, which is I guess, I don't know, I might be a little sympathetic too.
What's interesting, though, is they want to return America to this ideal that existed before half of them were even born.
Yeah.
Like, most of these guys are in their, like, 30s and 40s. They weren't around in the 1950s. They have no idea. They have no clue.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is that they want to return to, but this, you know, what they really want to return to is a world where white men were the most powerful, women stayed at home, and brown people didn't, you know, get hired for stuff.
And the gays were still in the closets.
Yes.
And occasionally they'd sneak into the closet, but no, didn't tell anyone.
Yes. It's funny. I actually have a rainbow balloon hanging on my closet right now. It's not in my closet. It is outside my closet.
All right. Well, there you go. Good. But, you know, hey, lots of fun on that front. Also wanted to get your thoughts on the other story that I found very interesting today. Jeffrey Toobin is back on CNN.
Yes, he is. I don't know why people keep asking me about this. I don't know if it's because I use the term wanking, because I don't like the word masturbation. I don't know why. It just seems so clinical. And yeah. Anyway, Jeffrey, I don't give a damn. I really don't care.
I love the fact that...
It's not like he intentionally, like, de-pantsed himself and went streaking on a high school football field, right? This is an accident. This is an old man who doesn't know how to use his technology. The dude needs to get some electrical tape and just, like, put it over his camera. It's different, I feel like, if it's somebody who intentionally was trying to do something gross and creepy to, you know, like a flasher on the train or something, right? This was not that. And so today, Jeffrey Toobin came back and I had to listen to Allison Camerota asking him about wanking and him saying that he's in therapy, which, I mean, therapy, good on you. Everybody should do therapy once in their lives. But therapy for, you know, that just seems a little silly.
That's the level, if that's the bar at which men have to go seek therapy, there isn't a man in this country that isn't going to be in serious, deep therapy.
I mean, right, here's the thing, like, everybody does it. I hate to break it to you. Like, why are we being so prudish about this?
Yeah.
Some people more than others. God knows it's been a while. But, you know, seriously, like, everybody does it. Just stop such a square about it. And the thing that I feel like is being lost in all of this that I really got excited about, not physically, was Toobin said that throughout this whole course of his time away from the people, he's been working on a new book about the Oklahoma City bombing. And the one link between what's been happening at the Capitol and Oklahoma City is this anti-government hate and these militias. And this is stuff that we've talked about for a long time. And so I'm really curious to see this new kind of conversation linking the two of those things. And so hopefully we can get beyond Toobin's wank habits and talk about, you know, things that matter again.
Yeah. Does he ever not, is he ever not a verb?
Oh man. I mean, here's the thing. The name really lends itself to verbing. So, you know,
there you go.
You're tubing in. I gotta go tubing myself. Excuse me.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who wouldn't mind. So there is that. Let's go on to another media figure who's gone the other way. Evidently, Glenn Beck has retracted his apology for calling President Obama racist. Now he says, I was exactly right.
Whatever. I mean, here's the thing about Glenn Beck is he's a fraud. I feel like that's one of the major reasons that he's been kicked off of a bunch of stuff is that everybody knows that this is all fake. It's an act. He's a performer. None of it's real. This is an opportunist thing. People who work for him have said it. Everybody who's ever met him has said it. Like, why do we care?
I don't, but I thought it was funny that now he's back to it. He can't decide which side of it he's on. Yes, I said it. No, I'm sorry. I regret. I shouldn't have said it. And now he's back to it. Oh, I said it. And again, you know, down the road, he'll go, oh, I'm sorry. I was off my meds.
It just seems like an attempt to be relevant again. And it's like, no, go away. We have enough crazy on Fox News. Like, we don't really need any more.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing with me is, you know, I'm looking at Fox News and I'm going, you know, their defense. I can't get past the defense that, you know, that they said no reasonable person would believe us.
I know. And reasonable people should not believe it. And it kind of makes you wonder what they think of their own viewers. Are they saying that their own viewers aren't reasonable people?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really twisted. Crazy. I want to get your thoughts on, evidently today, Jim Jordan was grilling the FBI over their investigation of Rudy Giuliani. How dare they? How dare the FBI seize records from Rudy's his home and his offices and take his 18 devices and all of that? How dare they?
I think the one thing that we have learned this week is Rudy Giuliani was doing some really sketchy stuff on that phone call with Ukraine. I think we've heard some reports about what was going on that call before. This week, we actually heard the call. And it is very clear that Rudy Giuliani was attempting to bribe the Ukrainian government.
Yeah.
Not only that, he was doing it on behalf of Donald Trump, and he was doing it on the phone with Kurt Volker, who then lied to Congress about it. So there's a lot going on here. Kurt Volker actually now is a fellow at George Washington University, which I feel like GW is going to have to answer some questions about what how they feel about, you know, somebody who lied to Congress working as a fellow for them. there's an international lobbying firm that has hired this guy. So that can't possibly look, you know, good for their PR. So it's just Jim Jordan. It's funny that Jordan is saying all of this after obviously a Newsweek that has completely destroyed Rudy Giuliani. Like, why was he not paying attention to the news this week? Did he write these questions without watching television?
He cashed the check.
Yeah. I don't even think it's that. I think he is so far up the tubing of the Republican Party that he just carries the water for everybody.
And this is the interesting part, because, you know, I've had these conversations about Giuliani with Trump supporters, and no matter what, as soon as you bring up that Rudy may have done something, no, you can't, because ultimately, if Rudy's done something wrong, it's not too far of a stretch to get to the dear extreme leader, you know, did something wrong. And we already know what that phone call was. You had Rudy trying to strong arm him, then you had Trump, you know, following up on that strong arming.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked before, I think, about both of us assume that there is a recording of the call with Donald Trump. And
I'm sure the Russians have it.
If not the Russians, I think for sure the Ukrainians, right? Like, wouldn't you be recording every single phone call with Donald Trump? Because, I mean, you never know whether or not he means what he actually says, or if he's going to renege on something. Or, I mean, I would not trust anything that Donald Trump tells me. And if you record it, at the very least, you know that if he then later lies about it, you can be like, oh, not so fast. But, you know, who knows? Maybe they didn't, but I'm sure Russia has it. I would not be surprised if we as the United States don't have it and it's not on some secure server somewhere. So I really wish the DOJ would go combing through some of that stuff.
Yeah. Now, are you as disappointed in Merrick Garland as some folks are?
Because, yes.
There's a lot of folks really kind of not happy. And I'll be honest with you. I thought Merrick Garland was a mistake. I thought he was a mistake as a Supreme Court justice. I would have liked to have seen someone a little more progressive, a little more to the left. He is a dead center moderate, a guy who I don't think is gonna rock the boat or go against precedent. And I think we're in kind of a moment where we do have to go back and investigate the last administration, because they literally made criming a verb.
Yeah, they did. I mean, and one of the I'm of two minds on this. One, yes, I am very disappointed that he and Biden too have this very broad understanding of executive privilege. And over again, people who are infinitely smarter than I am, people who have been federal prosecutors, who've worked in the legal field for a long time, have said, like, this doesn't make sense in this instance. This is something that happened decades ago, and that several judges, state Supreme Court, have said should move forward. And it doesn't make sense for the Justice Department under Trump to come in and intervene. And it sure doesn't make sense for all of a sudden the Biden Department of Justice to start defending him. This is not the case to do it. I get that there's a lot of executive privilege stuff that happened in Trump's administration. If you want to defend that, I get it. This is not the place to do it.
Yeah.
When it comes to the other issue, the second piece of this is that I wonder if Garland is trying to just sort of cover his butt on this and try and make it seem like, you know, we have done all of the due diligence necessary to, you know, give Trump the benefit of the doubt that he was, you know, essentially breaking the law, that he was obstructing justice. With Don McGahn's testimony, you have somebody on a congressional record confirming, you know, not just Robert Mueller and not just his report, you have McGahn confirming that report that Trump asked him to, you know, to cover this up, to obstruct justice, Trump, and then Trump asked him to lie about it. And so, I mean, you can see in the tapes that everybody keeps running over and over again of Robert Mueller. They were just like, so you're saying that Donald Trump could be arrested and charged and indicted after he leaves office? And he was like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, and so is this a Mueller moment then? Because Mueller didn't believe that he had the power to bring any charges or to indict or do any of the things that a lot of people were hoping, and that he deferred to Congress. Is this another moment where you think Garland is saying, you know, this isn't the job of the DOJ, this is the job of Congress, and you got a bunch of people in Congress going, no, these are crimes. You're the top cop. You go get the criminals. Is it one of those, and then they just keep pointing at each other and nothing gets done?
I just don't see how that's going to happen from Garland's perspective, because this no longer applies. It's very clear that he obstructed justice, and we heard it in this congressional hearing today. He is not the president anymore. He can be indicted, even if you do believe in that DOJ rule, which should also be reexamined. But I don't see how he could avoid it. And I think, too, one of the important points a lot of folks have made is that we have a government that we kind of found some bugs in, right? Like, we have some issues that need to be fixed. We need to run an update on our government, on the presidency, and make sure that we're doing things that are protecting us from the future. One of the things that actually Rachel Maddow pointed out last night is there's a 6-part piece in the Boston Globe that is epic. And it walks through all of the things that could be done to sort of shore up the safety of the American presidency, to make sure that it is essentially tyranny proof, right? To make sure that no person, Donald Trump or anyone else, could ever do what he did to our country and abuse the office in the way he did. And I really hope that, you know, Garland and Biden really look at this as something that really needs to be done.
No, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. But I'll tell you, I hope someone holds them accountable, because it's all the wrong messaging. Look, I go back to the old TV show Beretta. You do the crime, you got to do the time. You know, from the president on down. And look, we're finding out every day lots of criming going on during that administration, and stuff that we've even forgotten happened. So there's opportunity. I want to get some of your thoughts on some of the craziness. Yesterday we did Wingnut Week in Review because I had to get through the middle of the week with all the craziness going on. I want to start with Louis Go-Go Gohmert. Evidently, Louis thinks that the fear of the folks at the Bureau of Land Management have the power to change the rotation of the sun and the moon.
The earth and the moon. I mean, there is a way that you can do that. It would involve a whole lot of nuclear explosions on the Earth, though, and kill a lot of people. If you blow it up enough, it would probably knock the Earth into a different orbit.
So you're going with probe. He thinks if NASA thinks we can blow some stuff up, we can change things. All right.
Yeah, we're all dead though, and we've destroyed the planet at that point. So, I mean, it reminds me a lot about Donald Trump asking if he can nuke a hurricane.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing where Louis Gohmert is looking for these absurd ideas to fix problems so that he doesn't have to drive an electric car, you know, so that he can still have coal that nobody wants to use because it's too expensive, or, I don't know, use Aquanet or whatever it is that he does.
He's bald.
And I know, right? I could totally see him still using Aquanet just to get that perfect shine, you know.
Maybe that's how they get the spoons to stick to their head.
Right? That's the other thing, right? Did you notice how that woman couldn't get the key to stick to her forehead?
Yeah, I that's the other place I wanted to go. I wanted to go to the woman who, the tenpenny woman who thinks that we're all now going to be magnets because of the vaccine and the 5G technology. I'm amused by it that you would take these things and put them together. It reminds me, you know, the people who used to complain that they lived under the power lines, and there was some actual truth to, you know, they were getting cancer and nobody believed them. So I'm going, you know, is she right? And then I go, no, I don't know how the two go together. And we're so bad at 5G technology, I don't even know that they have it in Ohio.
Well, too, I feel like if we were magnetic, that would be the best thing ever because I would never lose my keys again.
Well, but if you walk by the knife drawer, you could probably get, you know, stabbed to death. That'd be bad.
True. You could also end up jacking a whole bunch of laptops from the Apple store inadvertently. I mean, that's one thing. If people just get in their cars after they've got the vaccine and their cars don't stick to them, then you're not magnetic.
Then you're not magnetic. There you go. You know what was scary to me, though, is she's an actual doctor who has actual patients. That's kind of freaky. It's kind of frightening. Because look, I've got a doctor I really like. I trust him. You know, when the vaccine or when the pandemic was first coming around, I went to him. It was like February, and I said, "Hey, what do you think?" He goes, "Well, you know, wear the mask, socially distance, and wash your hands. That's what we do. That's the playbook. That's what you're gonna have to do. That's the future. And then when the vaccine comes, get the vaccine, and then still stay the hell away from each other for a while. Let it take." He said, and he said, "Look, 6 months after they say it's okay to take the mask off, there's going to be at least one guy still wearing a mask." He said, "Me." And I said, "That's good advice. I think I'll follow that."
There you go. I mean, I think with this woman, it makes me think a lot about Lynn Wood. There's still a competency thing for people who are on the medical, you know, who've been given a medical license. And I think that woman needs to file a complaint against that woman, because that's really scary. It makes me think a lot of the people at the hospital that won't get the vaccine, it's like, you work in science. Like, you should know better. No. How is it that I, as somebody who's just a complete, you know, idiot who barely made it through college physics, right? How is it that I get this better than you do, that I have more information than you do?
Because you don't watch YouTube videos with your mouth open.
Right, that's true. I don't do that.
Because evidently this woman, she's done 10,000 hours of research. 10,000 hours.
On YouTube?
Well, I don't know where she did it. I don't know what she was doing for 10,000 hours. But is there 10,000 hours worth of research to be had?
No, there's not. Vaccine? I mean, there's definitely some. One of the things that they do talk about is it is not a vaccine that has just come out of nowhere that we've come up with in the last year. The base of the SARS virus, they've been trying to work on a vaccine for SARS, you know, broadly for the last 5 years.
Right.
So they kind of used that same baseline of vaccine crafting, I don't know, what do you call that, to start their research on. So they really had a lot of stuff already going to figure it out. So this is not something that sort of happened overnight. And it's not something that, I mean, obviously we've had millions and millions and millions of people who've gotten this vaccine, even in clinical trials. It did surprisingly well, ridiculously well, way better than most other vaccines do. And now we've had millions and millions of people, and not a whole lot of people have had issues. The biggest one was the Johnson & Johnson blood clot issue.
Right.
The rest of them don't really have that problem. You know, anytime Tucker Carlson says that there are people who died after getting the vaccine, I say there are people who died after watching Tucker Carlson. So, you know,
and no reasonable person would believe anything he says, because that's their defense.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. But, you know, here's the thing. At the end of this, Donald Trump wants to be known as the godfather of the vaccine, yet his followers are the ones who are saying, "I'm not going to get it because it's going to kill me," which is just weird.
It's amazing. Talk about the best conflict ever of all time. Even people who, there are a couple of interviews that I've seen of people who are just like, "I know he says I should get it, but I don't care. I don't care. I don't trust him.
I did my YouTube research."
There you go.
While tubing. there you go. Sarah, as always, I appreciate the time. Great stuff. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Have a good night and a good weekend.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burst. Make sure you check out the work she does over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. Here, listen to the Rick Smith Show.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.